And we've got Jim Marrs this hour as we talk about his trillion-dollar conspiracy. So we'll be back with Jim in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Jim, before we go to calls, where do you get the book still, The Trillion-Dollar Conspiracy?
Well, you can get it from Amazon. You can get it any bookstore. But I want everyone listening to be sure and click on jimmarrs.com, my website, by next weekend, by the Labor Day weekend. I'm going to have an entirely new website up, and it's got all the slick bells and whistles.
Good for you. A little remodeling job on the website, huh?
That's right. That's right. They've kicked me and dragged me kicking and screaming into the 21st century. But, hey, George, before we get totally off of 9/11 and the media, I got 2 points I want to make.
Sure.
One is that, and this is for all you folks listening, when you try to bring up 9/11 and raise up some of the very, very pertinent and unanswered questions, and one of your friends and or relatives says, oh, well, that's just a bunch of conspiracy theory, I want you to point out that John Former, who is the senior counsel to the official Bush-appointed 9/11 commission, has stated publicly that the account given to the 9/11 commission staff, and hence the Congress and the media, is almost entirely and inexplicably untrue. So when their own senior lawyer says the account they gave us is almost entirely and inexplicably untrue, I think it's time that we start paying attention to people who've actually done their homework and may have a better inkling of what the truth is. And the other point I want to make is, I keep hearing these people say, well, I'd like to vote for Ron Paul, but he can't win, and so I don't want to waste my vote. And I just want to grab him by the collar and say, where are you getting that? Because I know where. It's been drummed into them by the corporate mass media. And my simple admonition is this, is if everybody out there who says, well, I really like what Ron Paul says, but I don't think he's electable, would actually go out and vote for him, he probably could get elected.
Well, but he wins all the debates, doesn't he?
He does, because he speaks the truth.
Well, that's true. That's all you can ask for anybody, Jim. You know what?
You ready for some calls?
Let's take it.
Find out what they want to know. What I know. Let's find out what they want.
This hour's going to go fast. First time caller, Woody in Roanoke, Virginia. You're on the air with us, Woody. Go ahead.
Thank you, George, for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I was wondering why our government, for years and years and years, keeps covering up the JFK assassination.
Well, who better than you, Jim Marrs, to answer that question? Thanks, Woody.
Okay. Well, because, you know, I've been asked before, you know, can you tell me in 25 words or less what really happened to John F. Kennedy? And my answer is that John F. Kennedy was shaking up the status quo, and the status quo struck back. But I'll tell you something. Here's one little tidbit that I think might point out what really happened. There have only been two presidents in the history of the United States who've tried to issue their own interest-free money. One of those was Abraham Lincoln when he issued greenbacks to fund the war between the states. And the second, believe it or not, was President John F. Kennedy, who in June of 1963 issued $4.2 billion in currency with red ink on it. And it did not say Federal Reserve note. It said United States note. He issued it through the Treasury, which means the money at face value was no better or worse than a Federal Reserve note, but we didn't have to pay interest on it.
That's right. It was ours.
And I don't think it's just a sheer coincidence that both of those men were shot in the head in public. And I might point out that, you know, Gaddafi, about a year ago or more, 2009 perhaps, Senator McCain and other prominent leaders went to Libya, praised Muammar Gaddafi as being a good leader, and that they, we finally were glad we got over the problems, you know, with the Lockerbie bomber, Pan Am 103, which has turned out to be a big conspiracy. That was not brought down by any Libyans, but that's another whole program. And then all of a sudden, He's the bad guy, and we've got to go after him. Why? Because he was issuing interest-free money, and he was trying to gather up a bunch of the African nations to produce a gold-backed dinar, which would have been in competition with the U.S. dollar, which is not backed by anything, apparently, except maybe nuclear weapons and smart bombs. And so you begin to see the financial manipulators in this world that are trying to, as you yourself, George, said on one of the breaks, they got a plan, and they're trying to corral us all. And we're going along with it,
yep.
Which is what astounds me. They're doing stuff today that just 10 years ago, certainly 20 years ago, the American public would not stand for.
What happens, Jim, when we defend these dictatorships that in many cases are brutal from the get-go?
Right.
And then we defend them, and then all of a sudden we turn on them, then they have to go. When, unfortunately, their brutal tactics never stopped.
That's true.
It was okay one day, and then it's not okay the next. That's what confuses me.
Well, all we do is replace one dictator for another dictator, or a dictatorship of military junta or religious fanatics, but as long as they will continue to pay the interest. All right? And yet, you know, you can go back through history, and you can look and see that, for example, you got bad people, but they may be, they get out of control. Adolf Hitler, when he took control of Germany in early 1933, Germany was almost on its knees economically. Half the country was out of work, and they had to carry whole wheelbarrow loads of money just to get a loaf of bread. They had hyperinflation. And within 2 years, he had turned all of that around.
Yeah.
How? Because by the time of the 1936 Olympics, Germany was the economic powerhouse of the world.
It was amazing how he also mass manipulated their minds.
Absolutely. But he put everybody back to work on building projects like the Autobahn and, yes, rebuilding their arms industry. And everybody's getting a paycheck, and the money flowed through the economy. And all of a sudden, everybody's doing okay. And how did he do that? Because he issued interest-free money, his own money, through the German Central Bank. And that's why that Winston Churchill said, this war is not about Hitler or even National Socialism. It's about the strength of the German people, meaning the economic strength. And he said that must be destroyed because the bankers on Wall Street and City of London, who had financed and created Hitler, then turned on him.
Well, I see. That had to go. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
Now okay. did they assassinate him like they did Kennedy and Lincoln?
They tried.
About 25
they
times.
Couldn't get to him.
Yeah, they couldn't get to him.
Unfortunately, but...
Yeah.
And let me ask you...
There's a good example where you got a bad person, but he's going against the establishment.
Why did they seal these documents for the Kennedy assassination for so long? I mean, they're sealed for, what, 20 more years, something like that?
Yeah, the Assassination Records Review Board pried a whole lot of things out of the government. And frankly, I personally don't think that there's anything. We're not going to find a thank you note from Lyndon Johnson to Lee Harvey Oswald.
No, okay? It's not going to be in there.
It ain't going to happen, all right? But I think that let's face it, they censor everything. This is who we're all going on right now about a former CIA guy who's getting his book pulled because the CIA said he's got secrets in there, and yet some of the secrets that they named is stuff that's already appeared in the establishment media. So what's the problem? Government just, runs and hides, tells a lie oftentimes when it could tell the truth. They just simply do not want people to wise up and understand how things really work and what's really going on, because then people might not go along with the program.
Let's go to Santa Barbara, California, west of the Rockies. Ray, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Ray.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good.
Hi, Jim.
Howdy.
Howdy. Yeah, I read a little bit of your book, The Rule by Secrecy.
Uh-huh.
And it's a very heavy book. But I wanted to mention something. In the gospel, Lord Jesus, he went into the temple and he cashed out the money lending.
Yeah, that was the one time he got kind of violent, wasn't it?
Yeah, and of course, he probably got killed, too. But I wanted to say this, that he cashed out the money lenders because they were practicing usury. Now, why are we allowing the federal government, who's a private group of bankers, to print money and charge interest to keep us indebted to them, okay? And they're charging interest and they're practicing usury, which is a mortal sin in Christianity. Okay, why are we allowing that? Under the Constitution of the United States, it's stated that the only Congress and Congress only shall print money and value it. So why? How did this happen? And why can't we put the Federal Reserve back into the hands of Congress the way it was?
Well, this falls into the discussion, Jim, about the New World Order.
Exactly.
And trying to make this a one world currency.
Yep. And the basic answer to your question is because the control of this government has fallen out of the hands of elected officials and into the hands of international globalists, as they call themselves, who only look at the United States as a not very profitable division of their worldwide global New World Order. And that's exactly what's going on. And you can see now that they're starting to move against anyone in the world who is attempting to buck their interest drawing money schemes. And why we can't seem to get away from it is a very good question, but I think it all comes back to Congress, which, according to the latest AP
popularity's way down.
12%.
Yeah.
You know?
Favorable.
And if you remember, George, I think I was on your program back in 2008 prior to the election, and I tried to tell everybody, vote all those rascals out. And no, they just voted them all right back in again for the most part. And look, we're getting more of the same.
Oh, does it seem to you that the globalists are working under a deadline and they're just going faster and faster and faster?
That's a really good question, and yes, it certainly appears that way. But then again, you can also say, and this kind of gets back to our friend Dick Hoagland, who's saying that we may be being bombarded with consciousness-raising rays of some sort, that it, maybe there is a something is happening with our time. We know that the planet is undergoing all kinds of upheavals. The Pacific Ring of Fire is just going nuts, you know, with huge earthquakes, the big tsunami in Indonesia, the huge quake in New Zealand, the Japanese earthquake. And so we know this is going on. Maybe it's that everything's changing, and maybe it's we're all getting a little bit smarter, and maybe our time, our perception of time is speeding up, because I keep trying to tell myself maybe it's just because I'm getting old and I feel like I'm running out of time, but I
swear. It's too fast. We're going into September, Jim. Where's it going?
Where's it going and what's happening? And, you know, it's just going faster and faster, and you're right. It seems like that they're on a deadline, and they're really making very overt moves now to try to globalize the entire planet. It's almost as though they know something's coming up.
Yeah.
Of course, when you look at all the various aspects, the seed vault in Norway, where they've stored away all of the heritage seeds of every vegetable, fruit
sure.
on the world.
Which is smart,
but
why are they
now?
Doing it?
Yeah, why
are they doing
now,
it?
Why now, and why rush to get it finished? And then look who's behind all that. In addition to the Norwegian government, it was funded by the Rockefeller Foundation and Bill Gates and Monsanto.
Like, it's
Monsanto,
like they,
of all things. And yet Monsanto is not storing away any of their Terminator seeds. They're storing away these heritage seeds, the old seeds.
The real ones.
The real
Mother
ones.
Nature seeds.
Yeah, Mother Nature seeds that grow, you know, season after season. And then you look at the stockpiling of the coffins, the plastic coffins. You look at the military expansion that's taking place, going into more and more countries. There's a lot going on, and it's like somewhere somebody knows that something's getting ready to happen.
But they won't tell us.
They're not telling us.
Yeah, they won't tell us what it is. We go next to Bob in Tucson, Arizona. You're on Coast to Coast, Bob, with Jim Mars.
Hi, George. Hi, Jim. How are you guys doing?
Howdy.
I wanted to discuss the alleged bin Laden raid of May 1st and how many official stories we've had of that. First, they had the helmet cams, then, you know, he hid behind his fifth wife and the SEAL shot her in the shin. Then there was a firefight outside. Then the article in the New Yorker magazine came out, I believe it was August 8th, and this was the definitive official story.
Right.
And he recounts it all, the author recounts it all, the minute details. But then we find out, as Russ Baker said on a show about this, that that actually none of this in the article was obtained by firsthand accounts. It was all by Obama's counterterrorism czar, John Brennan,
right,
who has a career in the CIA. I mean, people, I don't know if people expect to be spoon-fed, like you were saying earlier. You're not going to find something that says a memo from LBJ to Oswald saying, you know, well done or whatever. You're not going to find that. You have to look at the facts and the evidence, and over time they build up and they build up, and there comes a tipping point there where you have to start to ask some tough questions.
Right. Let me point out some of the problems I have with the bin Laden thing. Initially we were told that three helicopters went in, they rushed the building. One of them developed mechanical trouble, so they had to blow it up and leave it there because they didn't want it in the hands of the enemy. And that Osama, we were first told it was a big firefight, and then we were told, well, his wife was shot, and then, well, it turned out it wasn't his wife, it was somebody else, and then we're told he's hiding behind his wife, and then we're told by some of the tabloids that he was begging for his life. Well, excuse me. If that's the case, why didn't they just grab him, put him on the helicopter, bring him over here, put on a big public trial, and prove to the world that America is the land of law and justice? No.
And we can always, and we always get
head.
Our man.
Yeah, that no, they pop him in the head and throw his body in the ocean, you know, so there's nothing to see, nothing to prove. Now, here's the thing. I have seen an interview with one of the neighbors there at the Bababan, who said that three helicopters came in, he saw them, one of them landed, the other two hovered, apparently giving cover. The men rushed out, went in the house, there were shots, men rushed out of the house, got on this third helicopter, and as it was lifting off, it blew up. And he said there were body parts everywhere, all right?
Hmm.
Now, if indeed that was bin Laden, and maybe they did rush him to the helicopter. Maybe it all blew up, and then they didn't
have
a fight. Well,
that's a good point. Stay with us, Jim. We're going to come back and take some final phone calls with you on Coast to Coast AM. Little note for you. Next Monday, Labor Day night, we'll have a live program for you, so don't go anywhere. Keep your dial tuned to Coast AM. Next hour, Dr. Lewis Turry joins us. We'll talk about some of his predictions. And when we come right back with Jim Mars, we'll take final phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome, Mike. Jim, before we go back to more calls, listen to this story that I just have. Sky and Telescope. Comet Elenin is self-destructing. It is disintegrating. Something's going on with its core, and they think either it is broken in two or it is disintegrated altogether. Can you believe that?
Well, maybe so. Maybe it hit something, or maybe something hit it. See, again, we get told these little stories. And unfortunately, there's no journalism anymore. See, I go far enough back in the old Republic where I actually ran with the cops, and I'd go into the crime scenes, and then I would write about what actually happened. But then you got radio and TV, and pretty soon there's 30 people with cameras and lights and tape recorders, and they can't let them all tromp around in there. So they had to keep everybody outside and bring a spokesman out to tell them what happened. And then now today they got that ubiquitous yellow tape, you know, police line, and they rope it off for blocks, and you can't even get close. Reporters can't even get close enough, and where they've become totally dependent on what the authorities tell them. Now, in your run-of-the-mill auto crash, plane crash, shooting, local shooting, they're probably telling you pretty much what happened. But if there's anything truly significant, truly of national security, government corruption, we don't know. How do we know? The Bin Laden thing, if the witness was telling the truth and there was one of the helicopters exploded and it killed people on board, well, then wait a minute, and they tell us there were no casualties on our side. How are they going to explain that some of those Delta Team 6 guys didn't make it back home? Well, this past month, we had a helicopter crash in Afghanistan killing 22 members of the Delta Team 6. Were these the guys that went in to get Obama, or were they maybe members of the Delta Team who probably had heard what really went on? But we'll never know, because dead men tell no tales.
Anyways, back to the comet. They say that its magnitude, its brightness, down 50% in the past week. So something's happening to it.
Maybe it's slowing down.
Who knows? All right, back to more calls.
Well, the main thing I think, George, and I think you agree with me on this, is that I think it would behoove all of us, certainly your listeners, to keep a very, very close eye on Comet Elenin and whatever's going on around it. And then also be watching U.S. government Geological Survey site and watch how these earthquakes keep popping up and spreading around.
Next up, let's go to La Crosse, Wisconsin. Nate, east of the Rockies, you're on with Jim Mars. Go ahead, Nate.
Yeah, well, now that we've talked plenty about banks, I want to talk about it some more.
All right, you got it.
George kind of blew my mind with the 25% interest. I sure wish we had that here. From what I understand, 5 years ago, I got this information that there were only five countries without Rothschild-controlled central banks, and now Libya, being one of them, they're down. Sudan, apparently, I don't know, that's broken in half somehow now or something like that. Then I think all you have left is Somalia, Iran, and North Korea. Do you know anything about that, or can you elaborate on that?
That's a good point, though. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, well, the so-called axis of evil was just about a laundry list of the countries who were balking at the plans of the globalists. And now they're one by one being taken over. And, of course, you know, you can go all the way back to the overthrow of the government in Iran back in 1954, I believe it was. And all this has been at the instigation of the U.S. government. And who runs the U.S. government? Wall Street, as we just found out over the past 2 years. They can rob us blind, send our tax money overseas to foreign banks, and we just sit around and keep reelecting those clowns and that are called Congress.
Next up, let's go to Jason, Farmington, Missouri, first-time caller. Hey, Jason, go ahead.
Hey, George. Hey, I want to say that I'm a big fan of the show.
Thank you.
And hi, Jim.
Howdy.
What I was calling about is, a few weeks ago, that columnist and economist, Paul Krugman, made that real odd statement. I don't know. I think you guys have probably heard about it, about the fake alien invasion.
Right. And they're setting us up. And that's why, hey, Jason, that's why there's a lot of fear-mongering going on about Elenin. Okay, it's either real or it's not. Okay, there may be a real reason to be fearful, or there may be no reason to be fearful. But I can tell you, having looked into this for a number of years, that once the old terrorist going to get you ploy begins to wear even thinner than it has now, the next plan is for a threat from space. And as Wernher von Braun said, it's all going to be a lie.
Yeah, well, then NASA came out with that about 10 days ago, that release about how the aliens would see our buildup of greenhouse gases as a
and threat. Come here. Yeah.
And come and stop us.
I mean, it's leaving me just like to think that maybe they're getting ready to try a false flag. Yep. I don't know. I mean, I just wanted to get you guys' take on it. Anyway, George, I'm real happy about the work you're doing on Ancient Aliens, too.
I'm having fun there. Thanks, Jason. And so are you, Jim.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you something, you know, they've uncovered that ancient city or in southern Turkey that they now have dated to more than 12,000 years. Well, that predates the Egyptians, and that even predates the conventional wisdom of the Sumerian empire. So we are now learning. And there again, folks, if you're older than 20, you probably were schooled in facts and information that's just falling away.
Jim, when you put your new website together and you say it'll be up and running in a week, is your old one still working?
I think the old one's still up there right now, so I want you to just, everyone, I want you to wait a few days and or at least to next weekend, and then go check out jimmars.com, and you can find out how you can become a Martian.
Jim Martian. Let's go to Long Beach, California. Hey, Sand, go ahead.
Hi, George. It's good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
And howdy, Jim.
Howdy.
Okay. You know, kind of touching on a few callers back, just my antennas are going up. I'm too young. I'm only 45. And, you know, it seems like presidential candidates and those few that have come up with real strong morals and like the couple that have had plenty of money, plenty of financial backing and a real strong will, i.e. like the Kennedy, you know, both of them, they come in and I think they're given kind of like you play and you do the things that we say or you don't. And, you know, the ones with means that say, no, they're not going along with it. That's what happened. You know, you heard that recent story of Bobby, you know, with the CIA agent director saying, you know, look at me in the eyes and tell me that, you know, they have nothing to do with it, Catholic to Catholic. And you know, it's just that I think that we've had presidents since that said they were going to go in, investigate, reveal everything. They go in, and you never hear another peep about things again. I think they're the ones that get scared into going with the program.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. Now, keep in mind, the sure way you can tell if a politician is lying to you is if his mouth's moving, okay? And because it's an unfortunate fact of life that if somebody tells the truth, you'll never get elected. And Ron Paul again, okay? All he's done is tell us the truth, but nobody wants to elect him. And the mass corporate media doesn't even want to talk about him. But let me tell you, it's really worse than that. After the infiltration of National Socialism in this country, you read all the details in my book, Rise of the Fourth Reich, they won't allow anybody into national office if they aren't guaranteed that they're going to go along with the program. And that's why when they're campaigning, they'll promise you a chicken in every pot and, you know, free love and nickel beer. But then when they get there, all we get is the same old, same old.
And how many of them have been to Bilderberg meetings or CFR meetings?
A bunch.
Yeah, they yeah. sure have.
So they get their marching orders, and they know that if they want to get reelected, they better toe the mark. But or either that, or they will be seduced into some sort of a love triangle or illicit sex.
Something will destroy them.
They'll do something to destroy their reputations. And then if they're still holding out and they can't be marginalized like they have Ron Paul, they just kill them because that's the methodology.
Robert in Atlanta, Georgia, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, George, love the show.
Thank you, sir.
Jim, I can't wait to read this new book. I bet you it's going to be outstanding.
A blockbuster.
One of the little tidbits you'll find in the new soft cover edition, I wrote a 20-page update preface in there. One of the things you'll love is that, you know, the states, they're now, what, maybe 15 states that have legalized medical marijuana.
Yeah.
Okay, and yet the feds are still saying, no, it's got to stay illegal, and they're still busting people and trying to close down the medical marijuana labs and everything. Well, what you'll find out is that back a few years ago, the U.S. Government took out a patent on medical marijuana. So apparently they're just waiting until they can get a total lock on the cannabis supply, and then they'll probably say, well, okay, we'll legalize it now. This is just atrocious.
All right, Robert, go ahead.
Yeah, you're probably right, Jim. They're trying to cover up their drug dealing. But anyway, I just wanted to say I don't believe George Bush knew either, but I do believe Dick Cheney knew about 9/11 and what was going on. I mean, his actions on that day in the Pentagon, the guy who was there with him, I forget his name, who said, you know, his actions was just very suspicious.
Well, there's so much, there's so much there. And, for example, I was told by military people that just a few months before the 9/11 attacks, Cheney had taken over command of NORAD. So maybe that explains why nothing was happening. But then, actually, there was a small administrative change. You can read all about this in my new book, The Terror Conspiracy Revisited, which is an expanded and right up-to-date account of 9/11. That'll be out in just a week or two. And in there, you're going to find out that back in the spring of 2002, up until then, NORAD officers had the authority to launch interceptors anytime they thought there was a real air emergency. But then orders came down that they couldn't do anything until they got the approval of the Secretary of Defense. Well, that was Donald Rumsfeld, the man who brought us aspartame. And, of course, on the morning of 9/11, Rumsfeld was just kind of unaccounted there for a while, so they couldn't get hold of him, and they didn't have the authority to launch. And then once that was pointed out as being a very backwards and inefficient regulation, I think later in the fall of 2001, they went back to the original thing. How convenient is that?
That whole day was sadly surreal, Jim.
It really was.
After the two hit the towers, and then we see the Pentagon and the plane going down in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. I mean, just unbelievable.
Well, and then they tell us the story. You did this, just use common sense. They tell us the story that Flight 93, the one that went down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, there's a big fight on board, and that it just plowed into the ground, just crashed. And yet, by all the accounts, it left an 8-mile debris trail. That plane was coming apart in midair.
Yeah.
Something happened. And I'm not going to say what, because I don't know for sure. But what I know for sure is it did not just plow into that field and shanks.
Well, even if we had to take it down, why don't we just say that?
Exactly. And I think people, that would have been terrible, but I think most reasonable people would have said, well, after the other three.
That
to save other people.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Let's go next. Wildcard line, Margarita in Santa Paula, California. Hi.
Hi, George. Hi, Jim.
Howdy.
Now, in the beginning of the program, you mentioned about that ship that was dead in the water.
Yeah, the cruise ship. All Splendor.
Yeah, yeah. That was November the 7th of this year. I was on that. And you're saying that that may have been a conspiracy or that, were they training?
No, wait. You were on the Carnival Splendor, right?
Yes, I was.
And all of the electrical stuff went out, right?
It went out, yeah. We had the captain's night. Everybody got, it wasn't captain's night yet. We had one good night of dinner. Next morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, I smelled the smoke, heard the banging on the door, get out, get up to where the boats are, get some air. Nothing's happened. There's no fire. Ha! Where there's smoke, there's fire.
That's right. Something happened to that ship. And, of course, you can understand that if the conspiracy theory, and I'll admit this is a theory, although it was mentioned by a lot of people in the know and also very detailed by the Russian Space Agency, then that whole disaster with that ship was caused by this Chinese missile emitting an electromagnetic pulse, which would have burned out everything on the ships and very possibly started a fire.
Okay, thanks for that call, Margarita. Next up, we go to Robert in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hey, Robert, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, good morning.
I used to work in a little bit in the kind of what you would call the shadow government. And I can tell you that our country is being set up for Marxism through the higher education system, all the way down to the news media, down to just about the churches, everything. We're being set up for a dictator.
Who's setting us up? Do we know?
There's an element in the government that's not heard about, And basically, I can tell you that unless people wake up and get some backbone, we're going to go in that direction.
What do you think, Jim Mars?
Absolutely. The caller's dead on. You know, Lenin, who created communism in Russia, was sent there by the bankers in Wall Street and the city of London. He said that the surest way to destroy a country is to debauch its currency.
That's right.
Well, that's happening here.
That's happening here.
He also
here.
Said if he would give, you know, if he had control over the children up till about 6 years old, that they would be under his thrall forever, which is true. He understood the importance of propagandizing the youth, as did Hitler and the Nazis. They understood this clearly, and so do these globalists, and that's why they are systematically dismantling our education system. My wife, who just retired this year after 40 years as a high school teacher, she went back a few days ago to find out if they were going to be putting up the art exhibit in the library, as they've done every year in the past. And to her amazement and sorrow, she found out that no, they're not, because they had fired all of the librarians and they were taking the books out of the library so they could create an internet cafe.
See, Jim, I think because of the greatness of this country, people are going to stand up sooner than later and simply say, no, we're not going to take this anymore.
Well, I hope it's sooner rather than later. I mean, think about it, George. Even the Nazi Gestapo did not have the audacity to try and stick their hands down people's pants in a public place. But we're putting up with it.
Yeah, that's true. Jim Mars, thank you so much. It's called The $1 Trillion Conspiracy. His latest book will be coming out in a week, along with his brand new website. Thanks, Jimmy. Up next, Dr. Lewis Turry, Prediction Time on Coast to Coast AM.